Good morning. Today is Tuesday, April the 19th. It may sound like it's an April the 20th show by the time we're done.
It might.
But right now it's the 19th, the 120th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is General Manager of the Humboldt Community Services District, Dave Hull.
Morning, Brian.
Good morning to you, sir. Geez, you bring your own quote in?
Yeah, well, it was a fortune cookie. It looked like it was appropriate. So.
Okay. So, from Fortune Cookie 2016, quote, "A bold attempt is half of success." Yeah,
right?
Isn't it?
Yeah,
that's like standard operating procedure anymore, isn't it?
I think it kind of is, unfortunately.
Got to step out and do the do, so to speak. You brought in 2 pages of notes?
Oh, just
this is truly
stuff.
Frightening, man.
Well, you know, when you went to the morning show, you know, I'm not all up to speed in the morning. I need some crib stuff. Just remember who I am and where I am. And
when did we do that anyway?
I think it was you.
Well, we started new, or started in the morning.
Well, yeah. Yep.
And
but
kind of bounced
much younger.
Around.
I was much younger then.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And you weren't here then either. So, yeah. I don't know. I guess after 4 decades, it just kind of goes fuzzy for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again.
Hence the notes.
Yeah. Oh, you too. Yeah. Okay. Oh, boy. I was doing some, believe it or not, some government reports yesterday.
Hard to believe. That's like a once
a year
thing.
Oh, yeah. What a stunner.
Right?
Yeah. No. This is a quarterly event. This is not. So I have a routine.
Yeah.
And I noticed how many times in the first quarter for this program we talked about water. It was like 8 or 9 times. During the 3 months, the first 3 months of the year, water was the primary topic of the program. Whether it was drought, whether it was weather, it's almost redundant, the infrastructure, all those types of things. Are we getting more sensitized to water, or is this, and the uses and the impacts we have, or is this just, you think, a natural byproduct of drought and infrastructure?
I think it's more the latter. I think, you know, it's in the news, and so we talk about it. Once the drought goes, you know, cycles out, you know, it'll probably go back to whatever. It is nice from my industry's perspective, because you know, water is pretty darn important. And most of the time, I think, when there isn't a lot of stuff in the news, people are happy when they turn on the tap and when they flush the toilet, and they don't think about it one way or the other, except when they pay their bill. But the rest of the time, I think it just moves along. So we're happy with the kind of publicity in the spotlight for the short period of the time.
How much does the average property owner pay in taxes that go to your guys? The water agencies, water infrastructure. Is there any national average or state average?
I'm going to say that to that question, I don't know. In ours, we don't get any property taxes except for out in freshwater, where we actually have an assessment district. When we extended the water service out there, it was set up a 30-year thing. So, but outside of that, it's all, you know, we're an enterprise-funded kind of an organization. So it's water and sewer rates.
Okay, fine. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hull. So, Dave, so quaintly before the commercial break, you said that you don't have taxes. You have fees.
That's right.
I see. So if we
Prop 218 differentiates
plug you into the 220 wall socket, and get the jargon out. Say, fine, okay, it's an assessment instead of a tax. And yeah, I'm sure there's legal definitions of both.
There is.
And okay, fine, and I'll honor that delineation. However, for most of us, how much does it cost as a percent of home value or of property value for some of these things we don't think about, like water? Is it? I don't think we look at it. We look at the usage.
Yeah.
But we don't look at the base reference. You get a couple bucks per property per month? Is that kind of the thumbnail?
No, it's actually based on use. And it goes back to what I was saying is it's, well, remember a tax, I don't want to get too wonky here, but a tax is money that's collected by the government that they can spend on whatever they want. An enterprise fund kind of a thing like we have with water and sewer rates is dedicated to that specific use. So we have to go through, since Prop 218, we have to go through a very specified process to set those rates, and it can't be more than what the cost of the service is. So we can't just throw a dart. In fact, we're getting ready to start a kind of a unique thing in a way, a little bit. We're doing a joint rate study with the city of Eureka. HCSD and the city of Eureka are going to do a water and sewer rate study together. We're going to have separate contracts with a consultant, but because there's interconnections between the city of Eureka and HCSD on the water and sewer side, we figure that we're going to be able to save a little bit of money if we have the same consultant and we're in the same room with them, especially on some of the historical information and on where we have these agreements with each other, rather than having separate people. Like I said, we will have separate contracts. We will have separate rate studies for each of our jurisdictions, but we think we can save the taxpayers a little bit of money by doing it together.
Well, the preliminary or the historical, I would think, would be pretty similar.
Yeah,
now, well, maybe you're talking about exactly. Cutton versus Henderson Center. Okay, when was it developed? And the time frame would be a little bit different, but the cultural and the environmental and all that blah 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 that
right
comprises probably 85% of the study.
Well, and the other part too is, of course, we buy water from the city of Eureka. We send our wastewater to the city of Eureka's treatment plant. Actually, own a piece of the capacity of that treatment plant. So it's intermingled enough that it makes some sense to do this. So a consultant doesn't have to do it twice and bill twice for the same thing, right? So. But that's where it separates, and then we head off on our own specific projects and needs for the next 5 years to set the water and the sewer rates.
They're done every 5 years?
Yes, that's the limitation on putting one of these rate studies together. We can do now in HCSD's case, the last 5 year cycle that we did, we only raised the rates for 3 years of that five. So the last 2 years we haven't had a rate increase, which has been nice. And the last one, of course, was on the sewer side, was set up mostly for the Martin Slough Interceptor Project. This rate study will be more of a baseline kind of a thing. You know, now that Martin Slough is done, the giant project's done, now we can look at, just operations over the next 5 years.
So when that type of study occurs, that sets a base, but when you're looking at infrastructure, you're looking at 40 or 50 years. What's the connection between the two as far as setting rates?
Well, you look at the 40-year window, or even longer if you want, but we really look at a rolling five-year capital improvement program, and so does the city. And so we know what's coming up in the next 5 years, or what we'd like to accomplish, what the system needs are in the next 5 years. And so that's the kind of stuff the consultant on the rate study, we'll look at that, as well as economic factors, as well as a number of different things, to give us some good solid numbers so that the taxpayers are as happy as they can be that what we're charging in rates is what the cost of the service is.
The rates that are currently being experienced by those around Humboldt Bay allow for the pulp mill not being there and those waters not being that
correct.
Premium or associated with that, or lack of discount, depending on
well, it was,
what side of the street you're coming from.
It's on the other side, actually. It's one giant customer less. So we've got one less entity that's paying into the system. So that number, when the pulp mill went away, The remaining ones get to share in the, I mean, the fixed costs are the fixed costs, right? So
get to share. It sounds like it's a positive opportunity for us.
It wasn't.
Yeah, I understand. Now, you mentioned the Martin Slough bypass, and that triggered for me when a major project goes through, it gets paid for. When it is paid for, in theory, do the rates then go back down because that project has now been paid for?
In theory, yes.
I know. It's like the California state sales tax went from 6 to 6.25.
Yeah, but then it'll go down, right?
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
It's 8.5 or something.
Yeah. Trust us. Now, what are we at, 9 now? Trust us.
Well, the thing that, and you're exactly right, and I think more than the theory, if you look, you know, you could look through some transparent thing, those costs would go away. But what's happened in a 5-year period is you actually have other costs that have increased that overlap.
Imagine that. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mr. Dave Hull, General Manager of the Humboldt Community Services District. The water guys for some people. The pain for other people.
Not for too many people. There are a few,
okay.
I'm sure.
One neighborhood specifically. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redek. Dave, as you consider some of the different challenges that are out there, some of the projects, you know, you're coming into the construction season. Is there any big one that's out there that you've been really anxious to cross off the list, that you're going to be able to cross off the list at the end of summer?
Well, we've got a couple of things that are sort of non-construction projects that are the big things for this summer. We're actually have pushed up our budget and capital improvement program process so that we're going to try to be done by the end of May. You know, we don't have to have it done until the end of June, right? So we can start the new fiscal year on July 1st. We're going to try to be done the end of May because we have two pieces. One is the rate study that we had just mentioned. That's going to be going through the summer and with hopefully a completion maybe September. So that's going to take some time to get that set and work with the consultants and things like that. The other one we've talked about before that's kind of waiting until we get done with the budget and everything is to pick back up with the annexation process for Indianola. You recall that back when we, a year and a half ago or something, we expanded our sphere of influence so that we could actually consider annexing some different areas that surround our district. And one of those was Indianola, and we've got, actually, after I mentioned it on your show here a couple of months ago, we actually had some people call me and say, yeah, I live out here, I'm in. So there's a quite a process.
I would think it's a more formal than
yeah. No,
a
that
phone
was
call.
About it. Yeah. Yes, there is a more formal process than that, although that was encouraging. So I and we know that it's been an issue out there for a long, long time. So
it's a combination of consistency of delivery and a price structure?
More of the consistency of delivery and the quality.
You want water that you can use.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of people, their wells, go dry, or they're high iron or manganese or something. So
is there a lot of that issues naturally occurring?
Yes.
In the area that, I guess, allowances or accommodations have to be made for that water?
Yes. You see a lot of people have water softeners and stuff to deal with the hard water. So, yeah, we've got lots of minerals in our groundwater.
So how do you, or does the water district take care of that?
Well, Remember our water.
Right, your water is their water.
The bulk of our water comes from Trinity County up at Ruth Lake and down the river and whatever.
So,
by the time it gets down here, a lot of that stuff is, it's within a bunch of limits, so you don't really have to treat for any of that.
So it's just a natural process of it coming down through the watershed.
And remember, you need those minerals anyway, and
Yeah, but you don't want to have rust on your tongue when you're done drinking a glass
of water. Or when you
wash
your clothes, I'm turning orange and, stuff like that. Yeah.
Unless you're really a big giant fan.
I guess that would work then. Yeah. No, so the water that comes out of the Mad River from our source at Ruth Lake doesn't have those issues at all. But a lot of the wells around here do.
Just because it's a straight pull out of the soil?
Just the way
soil,
the...
Or out of the waterbed.
Yep.
Has anybody looked at the water tables in our area?
Yeah. There's a,
I know we're following your notes, by the way.
We never do.
I know.
It's just in case.
Okay.
The aquifer that Humboldt Community Service District is most concerned with is called the Eureka Plain, and that's basically Eureka and the Elk River Valley. That aquifer is where we have three wells down down at the foot of Humboldt Hill. Basically, they're all kind of right in that same area there, and that was set up that the district several decades ago inherited the Humboldt Hill water system from the county. They got it from a private system, and it came with a couple of wells. It's almost its own separate system. Although we have a connection that we can get Humboldt Bay water, Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District's water, or the City of Eureka's water out to Humboldt Hill, we generally use just the wells to do that area, and then the water we buy comes into our main system, the Cutton and Ridgewood and Freshwater and stuff like that.
Do they benefit from that natural filtration we were just talking about?
Yeah, well, they do. These are extremely deep wells. Well, not extremely deep, but they're pretty deep. They're more than 400 feet deep. And so that gets through a couple of different aquifers. There's some shallow ones that are saltier water, and then you get down into this deep level. It's actually artesian. So it actually, if we open the valve, it's actually water will flow up just because of the pressure down there.
Because of the hill and the terrain down to that point. Because we all know water flows downhill, yes.
Yep. Although it flows uphill in an artesian
well. Yeah. Is that the same aquifer that the old beer makers, 1900, the old Humboldt beer and Eureka beer, were able to tap into? Because I've heard stories over the decades that little water fountain on Broadway.
Oh, yeah.
Between Henderson and... I don't even... For most of us, I know it's not the right, but you got Harrison, you got Henderson at Broadway.
Right.
And into the hillside there's a small little, used to be, I don't know if it's been capped off or not, a little fountain that was there. And that was tied into the water that the beer guys across the
street.
Broadway
in
the old days would tap into, and that was supposed to be superior quality. Now, it could have been 1900 superior quality rather than today's superior quality, but that was the water that they were using, and the community kind of had that as water also. Is that connected, or is that a different?
Well, it's all connected, but it's my guess is, and I honestly don't know, but my guess is they probably didn't in 1900, they probably didn't have 400-foot wells. So they probably didn't go quite that far down. And in fact, if it's coming out of there, it's coming out of this hillside, it might actually have been sort of spring-like rather than an actual well. So,
springs tap into that stuff, though.
Yeah, that's good water. It's just, spring's just a well, essentially, that's running out of the side of a hill. So you capture that, and that makes good water, too, because it's getting filtered as it goes through whatever layer it is until you get down to some layer where there is actually some brackish water that's moving back and forth under the ground. In our area down at Humboldt Hill, probably 30 to 80 feet down is a layer that's relatively brackish, and then you end up
that would
with
be a bay water influence, right?
Yep. And then below that, there's some clay layers, and then you get back into the alluvium that has this great quality water that's below that. So,
and when an earthquake happens, that's the shifting, and that's why sometimes wells will go dry.
Exactly.
Or
right.
will be
or
created.
Springs will go. Yeah. Exactly.
Not that we have any kind of active faults around Humboldt Bay.
No.
Because that's why we had the nuke plant there. And the water.
Right there.
And the water across the street. Okay.
And all of our wells.
Yes. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:44. We'll be back with more from Dave Hall.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hull. Dave, you said that most of this stuff was planning for this year. Those were the biggies for you, the studies and things of that nature.
Right.
Does that mean that your crews are going to be standing around looking at each other, throwing little pieces of gravel?
Oh, no. We have all kinds of things to take care of with this. One of the big projects, though, that we're looking forward to get started with, let me set this up as a little bit of a story. About a year ago, the district started looking at a long-term project, another 20 years, so out to 2035, of water source and what would be the best water source that we should pursue for the projected growth and, you know, so on and so forth, planning kind of constraints. We looked at three alternatives, basically. One was all water that we buy from Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District in the city of Eureka. So we're calling that contract water. So all of our sources from that. Another alternative was all well water, so that we have maximum control over ourselves. We have some wells, as we talked in the last segment, and so it was all wells. The third alternative was a combination, which is really what we have now, which is we buy probably 2/3 of our water, and we have wells that make up the other third. So we went through quite an extensive process and basically came back to, for the next 20 years, we're going to be focusing on this blended regime of having some contract water and some well water also. So that leads us to my construction project I wanted to tell you, which is to replace the South Bay Well. South Bay Well was our major producer. It went out of service in 2013. It had some casing issues, and so we pulled it out of service. We didn't want to replace it because it's about a $400,000 project to put a new 450-foot well down. But it produces around 1,000 gallons a minute, which is a lot, and that really helps us feed not only the Humboldt Hill area. It helps with some self-sustainability in case something happens with those pipelines, so we can feed water back to the rest of the district. And provides for some growth in the future. So that's where we are. That's a big project coming up.
And you get information about the drought status officially tomorrow?
Tomorrow is when the droughts, the workshop's going to be held. May 17th is actually when the board will decide if they're going to extend the regulations.
I think we're going to be hearing you in the news. Thanks for coming by, Dave.
Thank you. As a matter of fact, I think I'm here May 17th.
Oh, so. Perfect timing. Finally. See you tomorrow.
Okay, bye.